How do you balance the two of them? And how are they similar? How are they different? Can they be different? And just how do you like have brand consistency between personal and company?
Well, that's a really good question. And it's the question that's going to start off this conversation of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast with my wonderful friend, Leah Rowe.
Yay!
Who, you know, if I'm a little bit brand, she's a little bit culture. And I think if you've listened to this podcast, you've heard me talk about my belief that brand and culture are nothing but two sides of the same coin.
Yep.
And there's this huge intersection between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so Leah is here to talk with me about brand, about culture, about just anything that's going on, including our personal brands and our businesses. And
yeah,
your first question kind of alluded to that. And
yeah,
why don't you give me that question again?
Yeah. And I can speak from my own personal experience. And then also with working with a lot of my clients, there's this just kind of conundrum of, you know, being a business owner and having a business brand, but then also having your own personal brand. How do the two work together? Do they work together? Can they be different? I found myself, for example, like I love Instagram. So I like to do a lot of brand marketing on Instagram. I have a personal account. I have a business account. And I never know what to post on either account because I'm like, well, this is very much part of my personal brand, but it's also a part of my business brand. And then I end up getting in this like analysis paralysis and I don't post anything because I don't know, is this more business? Is this more personal? And who cares?
Well, the very, very short answer to that is there is no single correct answer because there are all sorts of different types of people. Some people are incredibly close to their brand. Mm-hmm. Someone like Oprah.
Right.
I mean, Oprah is her
brand.
Right, exactly. So if she posts on Instagram anything, stocks will rise and fall. You know, literally, if she loves this book, boom, it's a bestseller. If she doesn't like this food thing, boom, it's a worst seller.
Yeah.
So there's no separation between her brand personally and professionally, and even corporate-wise, if you will. And that's her value. That's her tremendous value. Let's face it, if you were able to say to someone that Oprah is using my product, wow, that's an endorsement from a heavyweight. On the other hand, I know that, Leah, you're involved with executive coaching, life coaching, and things like that. And I think your question is probably coming from some personal experience with actual people who are asking that question, right?
Totally. And so I work with a lot of CEOs, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of founders of businesses who are struggling with that question. And then it's one of those things where, you know, I don't have a good answer to it because I'm also struggling with the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you are not alone. And certainly I'm guessing a few of the listeners of this podcast are facing the same conundrum. Who am I? What's my brand? Is my brand me? Is there a separation between personal me and professional me? Should there be? Can there be?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through that a little bit.
Yeah.
And ask yourself this question. And this is a fundamental question, I think, about personal branding. When you answer the phone, what do you say? If you answer the phone by saying, "Hi, this is Leah," bing, that's a pretty good indicator that you are your personal brand. Versus, "Hi, you've reached company name and I'm Leah. How can I help you?"
You know, I think that's a good point. And okay, I'm going to talk about myself, which is one of my favorite things to talk about.
Yeah.
But I've built my personal brand over the years and built my network by being authentically me. And I've always talked about, preached in a way that's, I believe in building your brand that way because your personal brand that way, because then it doesn't matter what I'm selling, where I'm working, what I'm doing. People know me, they trust me. And so what I'm putting my name on, I want them to just trust it because they trust me. But a part of me feels like now that I am my own business owner, I don't want to come off as conceited. Like, I don't want it to be like, and I don't know if it is conceited, but I don't know if just putting myself out there and my personal brand and then wanting people to buy now, like what I'm selling, is that conceited?
Okay, let me break this down. What makes a person conceited? Well, let me posit a definition here. People who are conceited are takers and never give.
True.
If you are a giver, for instance, let's think of someone who you follow on Instagram or one of your social feeds. And, you know, listeners, play this game at home. Think of someone that you follow and ask yourself, why do you follow them? Are they leading with their company name or their own brand, their own personal brand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you consider them conceited or narcissistic or self-aggrandizing? Or do you consider them incredibly giving, warm-hearted, open, and sharing?
That's a good question.
Well, let me get very specific. Jay Baer, who, if you're a frequent listener of this podcast, you'll know that I'm a big fan of Jay Baer. Mm-hmm. His last name is spelled B-A-E-R. This guy, I've seen him speak a couple of times, really interesting, great books. Like, his current book is called Talk Triggers. It's all about creating word of mouth triggers for your business. Like, one of the examples he talks about in the book is DoubleTree Hotels and their cookies. Mm-hmm. Go on Instagram, look up hashtag DoubleTree or hashtag DoubleTree cookies, and you will see hundreds of photos taken by the customers touting the brand.
Those cookies are amazing, by the way.
Well, exactly. And
they're like chocolate chip walnut.
And they're worth talking about, right? They trigger talk.
Well, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Jay Baer, I listened to a podcast that he was on, and the podcast host, and I wish I could remember what podcast it was, but the podcast host asked him if he had any regrets in his personal branding journey or career. And he said, yes, I wish I had started doing my own stuff for me earlier. Because he was like a lot of us, which is, I don't want to be braggy. I don't want to be perceived as narcissistic. I want to have what appears to be a storefront. Even mm-hmm. if I'm working in my basement, I want people to think, oh, you're a company. You're
yeah.
How many people have co-founder on their business cards when the co-founding company is a company of one?
Yeah.
And what he realized was he was doing a ton of work for other people, which was great.
Yeah.
But it ultimately was not scalable because it required him being the number one on the project or the account. So if people are buying you and you give it to someone else, is that a bait and switch? I would say yes. So what he realized was, I need to get my company name off to the side so that people know when they're hiring a speaker, they're hiring me. When they're getting information, they're getting it directly from me. If they're buying my book, I'm a person,
yeah.
not an entity.
But I guess that's a good question too, because what if you are a solopreneur? For example, I'm a solopreneur and I do coaching or, you know, life coaching, executive coaching, culture coaching, but I'm only one person. So my time is going to max out at a certain point. And so if I need to build a team and bring on other people and I've put myself out there and I am the brand, then our customer is going to feel like they're bait and switch when I physically can't take on more clients, but I want to grow the business and I want to have staff.
Okay, well, look at what you're trying to do. You're trying to build a business off you.
Yeah.
So there you go. Your personal brand is the core, the heart, the beating part of that business. The business is only valuable because of you. And therefore, that which you are, that makes you valuable, interesting, wonderful, engaging, all that stuff, needs to absolutely be core and central to your company.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hire someone, you put it through the Leah lens of, yeah. do they do it the same way? Are they as responsible and responsive? All these things. But it all comes back to you and your personal brand. Your company brand has no value without you. You have absolutely 100% value without your company brand.
Is one of those ways right then? Is one of them wrong?
One, I don't think there's any wrong answer because you can find, you know, some infinite ratio of personal to corporate or company brand variations out there and point to very successful ones and say, hey, look at Gary Vee, Gary Vaynerchuk. He's got VaynerMedia and it's huge. And I would say, and how did VaynerMedia get huge? Because Gary Vaynerchuk built his personal brand to the point where people yeah. were seeking him out. If I hire VaynerMedia, do I think I'm going to be on the phone every day with Gary Vaynerchuk? No. But the reason I'm calling VaynerMedia is because Gary V's qualities,
yeah.
I'm assuming from the get-go, are reflected in the company.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for the if you're looking for the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon connection between me and Gary Vaynerchuk, if I were on his radar or one of his clients, it would be, hey, Gary V, wow, what a cool sharer guy on name the social media platform. Oh, he has a company. I now work for a big enough company to get on VaynerMedia's radar in terms yeah. of services. It would be Gary V, VaynerMedia, mm-hmm. and then my engagement via a company with his company.
Yeah. I think also, you know, when you were saying that you're not going to get, what is his name? Gary?
Gary V, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Gary V. You're yeah. not going to get him on the phone, but you're going to get somebody on his team on the phone and you know it's going to have the same qualities. If I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is Gary built this company with a certain set of values. And then as he built his team, he instilled in them those values. So those are like when you're founding your own company. Those could be your personal values that then become the company values, or they could be a little bit different. But getting clear on what your values are, building the business by living those values, and then being able to communicate them to your staff so they can live them out. We've come full circle. Boom. That's culture coaching.
And it's brand.
Another service offered by Leah Rowe.
That's right. Well, but that's exactly how it works, which is, okay, number one, Gary V, watch any of his videos.
Yeah.
If I got, hi, this is Melissa at VaynerMedia. How can I help you? I would go, wait a minute, total disconnect.
Yeah.
I'm expecting someone who's got a little bit of energy, or not a little bit if you watch any Gary V stuff. I'm looking for someone who's dynamic, who's challenging me from the get-go, who's exciting to work with. So consequently, Gary V's brand has to hire people that don't have to learn. Yes, who are on brand.
Or who you can train to be on brand.
I don't think you can. No, they have to have a nascent. they have to have a nascent ability within themselves to be part of that brand.
Yes.
For example, the Marines, U.S. Marines.
Yeah.
An incredible brand.
Yep.
When they hire people or they recruit people, guess what? They get rid of, you know, the bottom 20% or whatever of recruits. They burn them out through boot camp because they don't have what it takes to become a Marine.
Right.
Same thing for your company. So let's take a look at Leah Rowe and your coaching, the coaching side of your business. Yeah. If you're looking to expand and scale, which good for you, you want to.
Yep.
Number one, knowing that is absolutely fundamental.
Right.
Because some people are like, I want to have a brand, but I really don't want it to be anything bigger than me. To which I say, well, you just answered your question. Why have a logo when you can have a name and that name be you? Great. Your personal brand. You, on the other hand, you want to lay the foundation, the brand foundation, for a business that can scale and bring in new people and be true to who you are.
So are you saying then that I shouldn't build my brand? If I want to scale, I shouldn't build it?
No, I'm saying, okay, Martha Stewart Omni Media.
Yeah.
Another example. Martha Stewart, pretty hefty brand. Any brand that can go to federal prison and come out stronger.
Riding a horse in nature.
Exactly.
Looking like a goddess.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, she went to federal prison. She came out. I'm not going to say her brand didn't take a hit, but it survived.
Totally.
Is she herself? Or is Martha Stewart Omni Media, her company, something different than she is? Of course it is. Because, again, I'm not expecting you to get Martha Stewart. I'm expecting to get everything Martha Stewart stands for in terms of personal touch, quality, details, all that stuff.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
So can I ask you, like, so you know me.
Yep.
You know my personal brand pretty well.
Yep.
You created it for me. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, all right.
I'm just a robot. So if I hired a team and you hired my company, what are some of those things that you would expect knowing my brand?
Okay. Personableness. Mm-hmm. I mean, someone who can pick up a phone and, like, if I'm calling them up on the phone to make an appointment for a presentation or something, as a customer, I want to be happy to make that phone call to arrange that, because it's like, oh, I get to talk to Betty today. You know,
who is the most amazing human in the entire world.
That's
She's 10
right.
months old now.
Oh, Betty Pearl is now 10 months old. Congratulations to Betty Pearl. But I'm sorry, but if she's working for you, Betty Pearl better come off with the same personality, the same absolutely positive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I would never expect to hear a swear word come out of your employee's mouth, because I've never heard you go anywhere near one.
Well, I say hell yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. And that's about a number one on the scale of 1 to 10 of swear words.
Well, yeah, because don't do anything in life. Listeners out there, don't do anything in life that's just a meh. Make sure it's a hell yeah. Do that.
Ooh, that's a t-shirt right there. Let's TM that. So that's a Leah Rowe TM. Everybody drink.
Yeah, it's a drinking game. Every time we trademark something, you got to drink.
That's right. Or let's say there's a problem with an invoice that I get from your company.
Yep.
A lot of people, when they get that invoice, before they make that phone call, they put on armor because they're prepared to fight it out, to kind of be mad at you.
Yeah.
What if instead it's like, oh, oh, this must be a mistake. I'm going to call Betty and we'll get this fixed. Why? Because I know that this company, based on Leah Rowe and everything she stands for, delivers that type of personal service without any type of anger base. I mean, it's like, can you imagine having a relationship where you automatically give the person the benefit of the doubt? Because I got to be misreading this email. They would never say that. They would never mean it. Maybe they said it.
Yeah.
But they would never mean it.
I think, and that's really funny because something I always say is I always have the best of intentions. Sometimes I have poor execution, but my intention is always pure.
And that's key to your brand, which is our intention is not to put in the minimum amount of hours and then bill the maximum amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? A lot of companies are based on that.
I think this exercise that we're going through right now is actually a really powerful one to sit with somebody who knows you well and just hearing from their perspective what is a part of your personal brand. Because again, that can go back to your company values as well. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a founder, hearing from somebody else who you trust, the things about you that makes them want to buy your product or keep being a customer, that can say a lot about what your values are as a business.
You are preaching from my hymnal. You're singing from the hymnal right now, because one of the questions I ask with my branding clients is, or I ask them to ask of their friends, associates, colleagues, customers, is what do I do best?
Mm-hmm.
Because what you think you do best may not be what they value most.
Absolutely.
If there's a disconnect between what you think they are want to buy and what they're actually buying, you know, or why they want to engage with you, that's something to clear up right away.
Absolutely. And I think that that's such good feedback too, because then that gives you, at least in my business, asking my customers, asking my clients those questions of what are you getting out of this? What's been the most impact so far? If one of my favorite questions is, if I were to share a quote from you for potential clients right now, what would it be? And hearing that and seeing what transformations they're going through, now I have more information to market better and to communicate better to the world, because I'm hearing directly from my clients the transformation they're having. And now I can communicate that to other people who want similar transformations.
And I'm going to take that transformation language and change it to the thing that you're selling is not necessarily what they're buying. Mm-hmm. And so by finding out what they're actually buying, mm-hmm. it can help you sell better.
Transformation is a very life coachy term. So
I
that's
know.
Why I'm using it.
And sales, well, and sales and purchase and things like that are a very marketing thing, which is, again, Leah's very culture. I'm very branding and marketing. You know, that's two great tastes that go great together.
Yeah. Which one of us is the horse's ass?
We might have to edit that out. I think we know the answer to that question, actually.
And I feel like now, instead of like the two sides of the same coin, I feel like you and I are like one of those horse costumes.
Oh, great.
Culture,
great.
Brand, culture.
Well, and by the way, you know, this episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is kind of dedicated to that intersection between brand and culture, but down the road, I see a time when we're going to spin off a Leah and DP podcast called Brand Culture, Culture Brand, where we have a continual arm wrestle match in every episode about which comes first or what we're learning from it. We're not quite ready to have that go live, but it will be coming.
I think also just the fact that you called it an arm wrestle shows a very good difference between you and I. Because like I pictured like a hug. Like I pictured like arms hugging the other DPs, like arm wrestle. So,
well, you know,
culture, brand and marketing.
Yeah. Well, but it's also, again, it is based on brand, because as you know, my key three words for my brand are collaborator, creative, and provocative.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that element of arm wrestle or poke in the eye involved. And if you can't handle that, we shouldn't be working together.
Totally.
You know, on the other hand, there's a huge part of you as a brand, and I can attest to this as someone who knows you and has dealt with you for a couple of years now.
Dealt with me.
has interfaced with you for a number of years now, that a hug is absolutely apropos of your brand. Therefore, getting back to your original question.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I'll look for a metaphor that helps describe deeper concepts.
Yeah.
You just came up with a great one for yourself, which is the hug.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, everybody that you might hire, they have to make it over the hug hurdle.
Totally.
Are they a hugger? Are they the person that you meet within 5 minutes and then you feel comfortable with? And by the end of the meeting, you go, you know what? I feel comfortable hugging you.
And you know what's interesting too is I think there's also a symbolism that I really like for people in their brand. And for me, as I've been working on my personal brand, for me, that's become confetti. This is like the symbol of who I am. And it's so funny now because friends, clients, everyone buys me confetti.
Yeah.
You know, because it's fun, it's joyful, it's celebratory. Celebratory is a huge part of my brand, you know, but I think it's really fun to kind of play around with those things. So now I have hug. I have confetti.
Exactly. And the thing is, this is what I'm talking about when it comes to branding. Branding is not sitting in a committee room with a bunch of people who don't want to be there filling in the blanks on a form that says, we specialize in blank in order to allow our clients to blank. You know, there's so many people who want to fill out a mission statement that's nothing but a fill in the blank ad libs thing.
And I think also, you know, talking about hug and confetti, branding, personal branding, business branding, it can be very fun. It can be playful. It can be curious. And for me, yeah, instead of being like, I'm trustworthy, I'm honest, I'm respectful, or we are respectful, it's like tap into those things, tap into that confetti, tap into that hug, tap into those images, those feelings, you know, like that's where it's at.
Oh my God, you're killing me because it's exactly right, because everybody wants to be perceived. Okay, it's like the schoolboy who puts on a suit and carries a briefcase to school every day because they want to be perceived as this business leader in training. And if that's absolutely who they are, if they want to be Alex P. Keaton, for those old enough to remember the show Family Ties, go ahead, do that. But you have to ask yourself, is that you? Buying a suit does not make you worthy of wearing a suit if it doesn't suit your brand.
I heard somebody say once, I can't remember who, but they said, know who you are so you can be it.
Oh my God. Ha ha ha. That's my, by the way, drink. That's the other thing. But it does. I hate to say it. I've thought about this whole thing for 20 years.
Yeah.
And over that time, I realized, no, that is the seed crystal for everything when it comes to personal branding.
Well, and I think, you know, for you, one of your pillars or whatever you call it is provocative. You know that about yourself. You are it, but you also know it. And so people have to be receptive to that to work with you. And I think that's awesome.
Right. And some, you know, let me tell you, some people can't handle the sauce, you know, but that's okay because that's why you have an entire rack of hot sauce from mild to ghost pepper hot.
And if you're talking to everyone, you're talking to no one.
Exactly. So. And one of the concepts that I use a lot is the idea of a Swiss Army knife. Mm-hmm. If you're a Swiss Army knife, you're a crappy knife, you're a crappy corkscrew, you're a crappy toothpick, you're a crappy pair of scissors, and you can't do anything really well.
Another way of saying that is, why half-ass a bunch of things when you can whole-ass one thing?
Oh my God, there we go. Potty mouth, Leah Rowe, special guest on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast this week. I take everything back that I said about not swearing. But again, you're getting a feel for Leah just by listening to her and the conversation that we're having here. And I think you got a pretty good idea, maybe not of the 100% of Leah, but at least the 65%, so that when you see her, you go, I already know you.
Yeah, you know my brand.
Exactly. And that makes it so much easier, because one of the things in advertising that is an imperative is get people to drive trial. It's called driving trial, meaning get them to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So as a salesperson, you walk into a cold call, they don't know you enough to try you yet.
Right.
So that first meeting is getting them to understand enough about you to say, okay, well, we'll give you a chance. What if you could take out that first meeting and get rid of it?
Yeah.
Because they already know you, at least to a point where they go, you know what? I see your stuff on Instagram all the time. I love the fact that you have a little baby. So do I. We have commonality there.
Connection.
The meeting starts out with 15 minutes of conversation about, oh, I saw you took your baby to a national park. How was that? I mean, and was that like 3 weeks after birth or something?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's, you know, Dan, my husband and I, when we founded our business last year, so many people are like, how did you get clients? How did you make sales? How did you do all this? And like, Dan and I have been building our personal brand for years. And to be totally honest, like, we would not call it like building our personal brand. We were building community. We were networking. This is just something that we love to do. But it's like, we have never actually marketed our consulting business. We've never marketed it, but people knew us. They knew our brand. And they're like, oh my gosh, we know you both. Now you're doing this. We need that service. We're not even going to look for other people. We want you to do it for us, because they know us. They know our brand. They know how we're going to do business, because they've seen how we've been as humans for the past 6 years we've been in Madison.
They've already sampled your brand.
Totally.
So they're already prepared, almost, you know, you're in their cart on the way to the checkout.
Right.
Because you've passed the biggest hurdle of every purchase, which is, are you a decent human being?
Mm-hmm.
That's why personal branding is so valuable.
It's so valuable.
Well, we're coming to the end of an episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, but we're going to continue right on after I close this episode out. And I want to remind everybody to become a member of the Nonfiction Brandversity free Facebook group.
It's
free.
Woo!
All you have to do is ask to join, and you are in. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity over at Zuckerberg's house. And also, please like, subscribe, refer, and review this podcast, because that helps other people find us.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I'm DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and she is
Leah Rowe.
And we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.